This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Let's turn now to this week's parsha. This week's parsha is, of course, Hazinu, and it's also Shabbos Shuvah. So what I'm going to do for the parsha slot this evening is to focus a couple of ideas on Hazinu and also a couple of ideas on Yom Kippur, Shabbos Shuvah. So we'll have food for thought for the days that we are about to enter into. The first idea links beautifully to something I said last week on the Rosh Hashanah Shir. This week's parasha Hazinu begins, Hazinu Hashamayim Va'adabera V'sishma Ha'oretz Imrefi. Now, there is a switch from the word to listen, Hazinu, to V'sishma. What is the difference between Hazinu and V'sishma? They both mean listening. So what does it mean? So if you look at the next box, and if you're listening online, please email me at j.golker@gmail.com and I'll send you the sheet. In the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, at the very end of the Seder of Shofros, in other words, the middle section of the Shemoneh Esrei, we have Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. At the very end of Shofros, we say the following line, Ki atzo shomea kol shofar, u'ma'azin trua ve'in doy meloch. That you listen to the call of the shofar, the voice, the sounds of the shofar, u'ma'azin trua, and you hear the trua ve'in doy meloch. So we said last week, an idea of the Toldos Yaakov Yosef. And I said to you last week that the Toldos Yaakov Yosef was a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. He was the first ever Hasidic Sefer that was written. But I saw amazingly an almost identical idea cited by the Prima Godim in the name of someone called Reb Chaim HaKohen Rappaport. Almost identical idea, two different worlds, but it's amazing how they say such a similar idea. In short, what did we say? There is a difference between Shomea and being ma'azin. Shomea always denotes a noise from a distance, from afar. Ma'azin means you're listening from up close, much nearby. That's one fact. The second fact is, Chazal denote that a shofar represents the tzaddik. It's tall, long, stretched. It's loyal from beginning to end. That's the tzaddik. The trua represents the broken Baal Teshuva, someone who has made a mistake, he slipped, and now he's redressed and he's done Teshuva. That's the Trua. We therefore said, the Toldos Yaakov Yosef said, that when it says, Ki Ata Shomea Kol Shofar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to the call, to the voice of the Shofar, the Tzaddik who's been Tzaddik from beginning to end, Umaz in Truni, here's the Trua, which represents the Baal Teshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, however, has a special place for Baalei Teshuva. As we quoted the Gemara last week, B'mokum she'Baalei Teshuva imdim ein tzadik yochel la'amid bo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cherishes the Baal Teshuva, someone who slipped, who dusts himself down, picks himself up, and moves forward and comes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the correct expression for him is ma'azin trua, because it's closer by. Ma'azin is an expression of hearing someone who is close to you. Shomea kol shofar is someone who is distant. And that is borne out, that explains the difference in the opening pasuk of this week's parasha. Hazinu hashamayim, where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's abode? As Rashi says later in the parasha, Hazinu hashamayim, hashamayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the kisei hakovod is in shamayim. So Hazinu hashamayim, you're close to me. Therefore I use an expression of Hazinu. But the Sishma Ha'oretz, which is far away from the Kisei HaKovod, we use the expression of a Sishma, which explains that expression. And that's why in this Nusuch, Ki Ata Shomea Kol Shofar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears the call of the Tzaddik, who's further away, Ma'azin Trua, and he hears the Trua of the Baal Teshuva, who's closer to him. And that's why it finishes Ve'in Do Meloch, because a Melech Bos of Adam, who does he prefer? He clearly prefers his loyal servant, who's been loyal from day one all the way through till now. But the Baal Teshuva, or the person who has rebelled against him, there was a coup against the king, he's not going to trust him as much, he's not going to like him as much. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is different. Ve'in Doy Meloch, you're different, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now that explains an amazing thing in Shema Koleinu. And this I heard in the name of Rabbi Israel Yafu, who's a Rosh Hashiva in one of the yeshivas in Gateshead. He says a fabulous idea. Every day in Slichas, and we say this regularly, Shema Koleinu, Hashem Elokeinu, Chutz V'Rachem Aleinu V'Kabel Barachman V'Rosnes Tfiloseinu. We use the Lashon of Shema Koleinu. because at that point we feel so distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We therefore say, Shema Kolein, we're so far away from you. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from afar, listen to our voice. And then we say, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecho V'Nashuva, Chadei Shameinu Kekedem. That's the next pasuk. Hashiveinu Hashem Elecho V'Nashuva. We've done Shuva. We come closer to him. And once we've come closer to him, the next line reads beautifully. Amoreinu Ha'azinu Hashem, Binu Hagigenu. Beautiful. That now we use an expression of ha'azinu because we're now closer, because we're past the stage of hashiveinu Hashem Elecho V'Nashuva. So there you have it. It all fits in so beautifully. The expression of shema is from afar. Ha'azinu is from up close. That's why it says ha'azinu ha'shamayim v'adabera, because it's Hashem is closer to the shamayim v'sishma ha'aretz, and explains ki ato shomea kol shofar v'tzadik me'ekara, who's further away. Mazen Kultura, who's closer to him, and Ein Domeloch, because a human being doesn't normally do that. And that explains Shema Koleinu, that expression. You then have Hashiveinu Hashem Elecho V'Nashuva, and then you have Amoreinu Hazina, because we feel so close and much, much nearer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, next idea. The Pasuk says famously, Va'ato Kisvu Lochem Es Hashiro Hazos, which is the source to write a Sefer Torah. There is a mitzvah on every Jew to write a Sefer Torah. And if you look in the box at paragraph 2a, mitzvah Tof Reish Yud Gimel, the very last mitzvah in the Torah, mitzvah number 613, is exactly that. Shenitzavinu liyos lekol ish Yisrael, says the Chinuch, that every single Jew is commanded to write a Sefer Torah. In Kosva B'yodah, if he wants to write it himself, Harizem Meshubach, then beautiful. The Ne'er Hav Ma'ayin is considered very precious to Hashem. Umisha Ief Shalo Lichtov Lekosve B'yod, sorry, anyone who cannot write it himself is not able to do so. Yisgar Misha Yichtaven Uloi, he should hire someone to write it for him. Valzeh Ne'emar, and that's, it's, and that is why it says in the Pasuk in this week's Pasha, V'ato Kisvu Lochem Es Hashir HaZos, V'lamdo Es B'nei Yisrael, Sima B'fihem, and teach the Jewish people and put it in their mouths. Kolema, kisvu lochem Torah sheyesh bo shira zos. In other words, the whole shira is, the whole of this week's parasha pretty much is a shira. In fact, if you look in the Sefer Torah, it's written in the same form as Oz Yoshir. It's just, it's not just a block of writing, but there's a line, a gap, another line, and that's the way through. So you look from a distance, and it's basically two lines with this big gap in the middle, because pretty much the whole of this week's parasha is a shira. But because the song is written in the format of a song, the whole Torah is called a song on account of this week's parasha. And therefore, when it says, Va'atza kisvu lochem es hashira hazos, it's referring, says the Chinuch, to the entire Torah. Fine. The difficulty is, if the Pasuk says, Va'atza kisvu lochem es hashira hazos, then the entire Torah is called a song. David HaMelech is censured for calling the Torah a song. He calls the Torah Zmiras, and he's punished for that. Take a look at the bottom box, in the quote from the Gemara in Sota Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph. Dorash Rava. Rava Darshans. Mipnei Ma Ne'enash David. Why was David HaMelech punished? Says Rashi, Ne'enash David Shemeis Uzo Al Yodai. You remember the incident in Tanakh when the Oren was captured by the Pelishtim, and then they were punished. All plagues broke out with the Pelishtim, and they decided they're going to send it back. So the Oren made its way back. They then decided, until it got back to Yerushalayim, there was a procession where they were going to bring the Oren back. But David HaMelech was punished because Uzzah stretched out and sort of stopped the Oren from falling, and David HaMelech was considered culpable because Uzzah was punished because of David HaMelech. Says, explains the Gemara, Mipnei Shekara Ledivrei Torah Zmiras. What was the root cause? The root cause was, says the Gemara, that David HaMelech called Torah Zmiras, a song. Shenema Zmiras Hoy Lichukecha Bebeis Mugurai. That your Torah was like a song to me, says Rashi. Keshayisi Boreach Mipnei Oivai, when I was fleeing from the enemy, the Ogur Mipneihem, the only thing that kept me going, that was I was able to delight in, was your Torah. V'hoyuli lezmiras l'sha'asheni, and they were like a song that I was able to delight in. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, continues the morning Soita, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to David HaMelech, Divrei Torah t'koiros and zmiras, you have the audacity to call Torah zmiras? Harini machshil chabadova, I'm going to make you stumble on something. She'afilu t'neke shel beis rabban yodin, they say. But even school children know this. What is that? T'chsev, ul'bnei kahos nosen, lo nosen ki avod sakodesh, v'yu osya bagelta. In other words, the Bnei Kos, when they carried the Aron, they didn't actually touch it. It sort of hovered over their shoulders. Bakesef yisou. And you take the Aron, David HaMelech, and you put it on a cart. So such a simple halacha, bakesef yisou, you overlook that. And therefore, Uzzah was punished as a result of this whole episode. The difficulty is, why is David HaMelech being punished for calling Torah Zmiras? Doesn't the Pasuk in our parasha call it a shira, a song? What is the problem? You know, a song can be very uplifting, can be very inspiring. So what exactly is the problem? Why was David HaMelech punished? The answer I saw in the Sefer for Pinchas Roberts, and he quotes Reb Baruch Schneerson. Reb Baruch Schneerson was the son-in-law of the Chabina Rav. The Chabina Rav was one of the giants of the 20th century. He escaped burning Europe. He was on the hit list of the Nazis as the leading Talmudist in the world. And he was one of the outstanding Talmudic Chachamim. He was sort of the Rebbe's Rebbe. He was, many of the giants of the last generation were so delighted when he came and settled in Yerushalayim. He settled in Shaarei Chesed. And the giants of the previous generation, Rabbi Eliezer Yehuda Finkel, the Mirror of Shiva, who also survived Europe, and all the great Rabbi Cheskel Sarna and Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz, they would go and talk and learning with the Chabina Rav. He was one of the absolute giants of the 20th century. Anyway, he had two sons who were never killed in the war, and two daughters. And one of the daughters married someone called Reb Baruch Schneerson, and he says the following idea. Torah can only be a sort of a stimulating, inspiring shira if it's accompanied by constant study. Zmiras, on the other hand, are just a quick song. A song can be quite inspiring, but then it just sort of evaporates, like fireworks in the night. It sparkles, it's very exciting, but then it dissipates and there's nothing left. The difference between a zmira and a shira is lasting, it endures. Zmira is just short term. And that's why the Pasuk says, V'atzok kisfu lochem es ha-shira hazos, write down this song, which is not just this song, it means the entire Torah. That's what the Chinuch says, that the mitzvah is to write down the entire Torah, to write a Sefer Torah. And the Pasuk carries on, V'lamdo es b'nei Yisrael sima b'fim, and teach it to the Jewish people. In other words, it's not good enough to sing the song. You have to accompany the song with the study of Torah, with the incessant, relentless Torah study that has to accompany it. Short-lived fireworks are over in a flash. Success is through hasmoda. And that was the sin of David HaMelech. He overlooked the prohibition of bekesef yisou, of not touching the aron. You've got to let it hover over your shoulder. You can't touch it. It's noseis nosov. It will carry those who are lifting it. They're not lifting it. It's lifting them. And David HaMelech overlooked that prohibition because he thought that it only applied in the Midbar and not in Eretz Yisrael. Now, why did he make that mistake? He made that mistake as a direct consequence of portraying Torah as Zmiras, which is short-lived. Torah is short-lived. This prohibition only applies in the Midbar. It's a short-term prohibition. But David HaMelech's mistake, as it were, was that Torah is not short-lived. It's enduring. It's a shira. It's not a zmira. How does it become a shira? By constant study. And that's what the Torah says. Kisfu lochem es ha-shira hazos v'lamdo es b'nei Yisrael sim b'fihim. So that's the difference between a shira and a zimra. And that's why the Torah is entitled, of course, rightly to call Torah a shira, which is uplifting and inspiring, as opposed to a zmira, which is short-lived. And the difference is the simo b'fihim v'lamdo es b'nei Yisrael, to teach it constantly to the Jewish people. Okay, let's press on with two more ideas which relate more to Shabbos Shuvah and to Yom HaKippur. The next idea I saw, it was sent to me, someone sent me this idea, and then he heard it from Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson in the name of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and it's a fantastic idea, really a brilliant insight. It's a Mishnah in Yuma. I think it's the very last Mishnah in Maseches Yuma. So it's paragraph 3. Omer Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, happy are you, Klal Yisrael, lifnei mi atem matarin. Who are you being matar yourself? How lucky, how fortunate are you that you have the opportunity to be matar? Who are you purifying yourself in front of? Lifnei mi atem matarin, mi matar eschem avichem shebashamayim. It's none other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, avichem shebashamayim, shenemar, v'zorakti aleichem mayim toherim v'tiharetem, v'oimer, mikva Yisrael Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like, he sort of puts us through a mikvah. And here comes the difficult words. Says the Mishnah, ma mikvah mataher es atmeim, just as a mikvah is mataher tmeim, purifies those who are tamei, af HaKadosh Baruch Hu mataher es Yisrael, so to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mataher klal Yisrael. The difficulty is this. Why does the Mishnah say that ma mikvah mataher es hatameim? Isn't that obvious? Who else goes to a mikvah? It should just say ma mikvah mataher af HaKadosh Baruch Hu mataher es Yisrael. Why does it say that just as a mikvah is mataher tameim? Anyone, obviously anybody who goes to a mikvah to immerse for purity reasons is going because he or she itomei. So why does it say, ma mikvah matayis ha-tmeim? Isn't that redundant? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe wanted to say the following. There are different types of tumas. There's tumas meis, there's tumas sheretz, and there are differences, of course, between them. A person who is tomei meis, he was in a room or touched a dead person, he becomes a tomei meis, and that is quite a high level of tuma. He becomes tomei for 7 days, and he has to undergo the whole process of tahara, where they take the ash of the parah aduma, they mix it with the water, and he gets sprinkled on day 3 and day 7, and he goes to the mikveh, and he has to wait 7 days. That's one type of tumah, and there are many. Another type of tumah is tumas sheretz. A person touches one of the shmeina shrotzim, one of the 8 shrotzim, he becomes tomei. However, it's a much lower level of tumah. All he has to do, he goes to the mikveh, he's tomei for 1 day, and that night he's already tahar. So the question is this. Let's say a person, Rachman al-Islam, was in contact with a meis on a Sunday morning. So he now has to go through a period of tahara for 7 days. So he's not going to be clear till Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. Let's say he has the Hazor day 3 and day 7, etc. It's all set up for him and he goes to the mikveh. He's now got to just sit it out and wait till Shabbos to become Tahar again. But let's say on the Tuesday, he happens to touch a sheretz. So he becomes Tomei, and he picks up Tumas Sheretz. But he's already Tomei Lameis. So the question is there any purpose, is there any point in him going to the mikveh on the Tuesday night to be matai himself from that Tumas Sheretz, when in any event, he still has to, you know, he's still going to be Tomei Lameis, he's still going to be considered, he's still got Tumas Meis. So is there any purpose, any benefit of going to the mikveh to cleanse himself of the Tumas Sheretz, when in any event, he's still going to be carrying the Tumas Meis? Says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that's exactly what the Mishnah is talking about. And there is every reason that he should go to the mikveh to remove the Tumas Sheretz, even though he's still going to be Tumas Meis. Why? Because the Mishnah says, Ma mikveh matah es hatmeim. He's still going to be Tomei. He's still going to be a Tomei Meis. But it's worth it, because it'll be matah him from the Tumas Sheretz. That's the idea that Lubavitcher Rebbe says. But the lesson, the take-home, is such a powerful one. You know, sometimes, you know, I have the good fortune of teaching in a school. So sometimes, and any of us, it's true for anybody, sometimes you feel weighed down maybe, and you think to yourself, really, if I just do one little thing, is it going to make any difference? A person could be caught up in an avera and feels it's so hard to sort of, to rid myself of this particular habit, or this particular way of life, or this particular, you know, difficulty. is there any purpose of taking on one small thing which is not necessarily related to that area, whatever it may be? The answer is, man mikveh metaris atzmeim. It's worth going to the mikveh to rid yourself of the tumas sheretz, even though there are other problems. There's tumas meis, which is still residing. It's not all or nothing. And that's really the encouragement Rabbi Akiva is giving us. It's a phenomenal idea, and it's a very important idea, because a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just wants small movement. And therefore, that's exactly what the Mishnah is saying. Man mikveh metaris atzmeim, even though it's not going to rid fully of everything, but still HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that tahara, that progression, that improvement. It will still get rid of the tumah sheretz. That's exactly what Rabbi Akiva is coming to teach us, that it's still should be worthwhile to remove the lesser impurity. Okay, one final idea. And this I heard from Rabbi Shraga Kallis, a well-known speaker, and he was in school when he was a year or so two ago, and he said a fantastic idea. He brought the Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara in Brachas, Chaftes Amad Aleph, says, quoting Mishnah Berkiyavis, Al tamin es ba'atzmacha ad yom meischa. A person shouldn't have confidence in himself and literally until the last moment. Don't rely, don't rest on your laurels and think, well, you know, it's been okay till now, I'm not going to slip. A person has always got to be on guard. The Yetzirah is always there trying to sort of pounce on the individual. Al tamin ba'atzmacha ad yom meischa. But the Gemara in Brachas Chaftes says, I'll prove it to you. Shari Yochanan Kohen Gadol Shimesh b'kuhuna gedoyla shmoinim shana. He served as a Kohen Gadol for 80 years. Ule b'soif naaseh tzaduki, and yet he became a tzaduki, a Sadducee. He denied Torah Shebal Peh, and he went off after 80 years of being a Kohen Gadol. So therefore, the Gemara says in Brachas, Al tamin ba'atzmacha ad yom meischa can happily apply or unhappily apply to Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Contrast that with the following. There was a 90-year-old man who had been anti-religious his entire life, kept nothing, and he was quite hostile to anything to do with religion. As luck would have it, his bad luck, so to speak, was that when he was looking for an old age home and he had to move into an old age home, the only old age home he could move into was a religious old age home in New York. And he went in there, he had no choice. And when he was there, after a few weeks, a few months, he slowly thought, he quite liked it. He liked the Jewish atmosphere, he liked the Jewish practice. And not too long, he started keeping everything. And the very end of his life, he became a Baal Teshuva. So Shraga Kallis asked Rav Noach Weinberg, the legendary founder of Or Sameach and Eishat Torah, he said to him, how will he fare in Gan Eden? How will HaKadosh Baruch Hu look at this person? Noach Weinberg, in his charismatic way, said that this man will sit next to Moshe Rabbeinu in Gan Eden. He is a full-fledged Baal Teshuva. He may have wasted 90 years of his life, but he did Teshuva. And he did Teshuva Gemura at the end, and he will sit next to Moshe Rabbeinu in Gan Eden. Contrast him to Yochanan Kohen Gadol, a man who went into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Kodesh Kedoshim, 80 years, one after the other. He was Shimesh as a Kohen Gadol, Shmoinim Shana, but Lebesof Nasi Tzaduki. What would happen to him? What a contrast. You know what it's like? I'll give you a moshel. You know, sometimes you can make pottery. You go to a clay cafe and you can actually fashion it. You add the water and the mixture and you make the pot, and you can spend an hour or more, much longer, fashioning a beautiful pot. And you're ready and you're shaping it and you've got designs on it. And then you take it and you put it into the kiln, you knock the kiln, it's locked away in the oven, it's going to bake and it's going to harden. Once it's there, there's nothing, it's done. Well, imagine you spend many hours shaping, positioning your clay, but if at the end you sort of drop it or you just smash it down, and that's when it's broken. You may have spent many hours doing it, but it's too bad. The message is, says Rav Shraga Kallis, that in Yiddishkeit, the past is irrelevant. What the Yochanan Kohen Gadol did for 80 years, that has no bearing on who he is now, because everything is to do with where he's heading, the trajectory going forward. Aveira is Miloshen Ovar, is the past. And in that respect, the past is irrelevant. The focus is on now, and the focus is always on the future. That's why it's the famous word that on the night of Kol Nidre, we stand up and we say, we literally, our stomach is still full from the Suda Samafsekas. And we stand up very early on in Kol Nidre, just after Kol Nidre and Maariv, and we say Shema, and we scream Baruch Shem out loud. We're like Malachim. And yet, 25 hours later, at the end of an inspiring, one hopes, Yom Kippur, and after Ne'ilah, the high point of the whole year, the climax of Ne'ilah, we then go straight into Maariv, and all of a sudden we say Baruch Shem quietly. We're no longer like Malachim. When would you think you are more holy? Is it not on the night of Ne'ilah, having spent an entire day fasting, davening? Wouldn't then be the time to say Baruch Shem in the angelic way out loud? Why is it only on Kol Nidre, not on Ne'ilah? The answer given in the name of the Maharal is because exactly the same thing. Yiddishkeit is always focused on where you're heading, not where you've come from. On the night of Kol Nidre, I am going into a Yom Kedusha B'Tahara. That makes me angelic. I say Baruch Shem out loud. On the night of Ne'ilah, I'm heading into a day, back into the office, back in school, back at work, whatever it may be. It's always where we're heading. In Yiddishkeit, the past is irrelevant. The question is always where you're heading, what you can be. Who are we? We are our best Shmona Esra, our best Chesed, our best speech, our most refined, our best learning Seder. That's who we are. Anything that falls short of that, that's not us. That's just the Aveira. That's we've fallen short of our potential. You know, the famous quip of Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill, they say, was once drunk. And he had a sharp exchange with a lady. And the lady was shocked that Churchill was drunk and said, "Prime Minister, you're drunk." And he famously said, "Madam, I may be drunk, but you're ugly, and I'll be sober in the morning." Terrible exchange. But what's the point? The point is that Churchill wasn't a drunk. That was a state of where he'd fallen short of what he could be. That's what an Aveira is. An Aveira is not the real person. The real person is the best we can be. The best davening, the best Shmona Esra, the best learning, the best chesed, the best speech, the best everything. That's who we really are. And therefore, that really explains the contrast between these two people. That Yochanan Kohen Gadol, his past was impressive, but it's irrelevant because it's always where you are now and where you're heading. And so too, this 90-year-old man, he may have had a less than exemplary past, but since right now he was on a trajectory of Torah, of mitzvahs, etc., he was a different person. Rav Shraga Kalis said, he once asked Rav Nevinzal, "How do you do tshuva? How does one do tshuva?" And Rav Nevinzal said a very simple but very powerful answer. Rav Nevinzal said, "Just do what you're meant to be doing right now. Nothing more, nothing less. Just do what you're meant to be doing right now." And that, I think, is food for thought that we should take into these holy days that we're embarking on. Let's just quickly review those four ideas that we've shared this evening. Ha'azinu ha'shamayim v'sishma ha'oretz. What's the difference? Ha'azinu is an expression always of nearby. That's why ha'shamayim is nearby and oretz is further away, v'sishma ha'oretz. And that, of course, explains ki atah shumea kol shofar, the tzaddik me'akara, is distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Baal Teshuva is so close to him, ma'azin teshuva. And that's why ein domelach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore, has a very different perspective to a human being. And that explains Shema Koleinu. Shema Koleinu, we're so far away from you. Hashiveinu Hashem Elecho, once we come close to you, then it's Amoreinu Hazino. We explained also the pasuk, the beautiful pasuk from this week's parasha, Va'atzo kisvu lochem es hashira hazos. The Torah itself calls it a shira. This shira is representative of the entire Torah, says the Chinuch. It's the mitzvah to write the whole Sefer Torah. And the whole Torah is called a shira. That is very difficult because the Gemara in Sota Lamed Hei says that David HaMelech was rebuked for calling the Torah Zmiras. What's the difference? The difference is that one is perceived as short-term, one is long-term. Zmiras is a short-term, sort of a short-lived firework display which is over in a flash. But a shira means the long-term Torah. And that's why the Pasuk says, If you want it to be a shira, you've got to teach it, you've got to put it in their mouths, you've got to learn it. It has to be accompanied with constant study. And that was David HaMelech's mistake. He overlooked the problem of Bekesef Yisoh. That's why he slipped up with Uzzah. He was punished on it as a result. And it was a direct consequence of portraying Torah as short-lived, because David HaMelech assumed that that prohibition only applied in the Midbar, a short term, and not when they came into Eretz Yisrael. Then you had that fabulous idea of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Ma mikveh metayeh atmeim. Isn't tmeim redundant? Mikveh is metayeh, of course that's tmeim. The teretz is that the person can be tomei meis, but he can also have picked up a tumas sheretz. It's still worthwhile purifying a person from the lesser impurity of the tumas sheretz, even though he will remain tomei. That's exactly what Rabbi Kiva in the Mishnah is telling us. A person should try and achieve small victories. There may be other issues. It's not all or nothing. Small steps go a long way. And that's exactly what the Mishnah is telling us. And the last idea, the contrast between Rabbi Yochanan and Kohen Gadol, who was Shimish Bekuna Gedolah for 80 years, and yet Nasi Stuki, and the 90-year-old who became Frum in the old age home, and will sit next to Moshe Rabbeinu in Gan Eden. What does that mean? The contrast is because Yiddishkeit focuses not on the past. The past is irrelevant. Avir is Miloshin Ovar. The past is consigned to history. The focus is on the now and the future. And therefore, it's all to do with your forward trajectory, which is why the Baruch Shem on Kol Nidre night is much more powerful than that of the night of Ne'ilah. And that really is what Rav Nevin Saltov of Shraga Kallis, that the way to do tshuva is to just do what you're meant to be doing right now. The focus is now and on the future. And in Mitzvah Hashem, with those thoughts, we should all be zochet to Gemara Chasima Tova, a happy, healthy, and successful new year for all of us. Kol Tov, and a very good evening.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.